Have you noticed how what constitutes a crisis, or be more loyal to Democrat talking points, a constitutional crisis, that could be when the president takes action according to the powers that his office allows him to take? How about when a lack of vetting and self-serving actions place national security and other elements at risk? Well, if it was the president, that would, right, be a constitutional crisis. But as my next guest writes about in his new best-selling book, since this involves Democrats, most want it to be looked at as a non-story. It's an important story that he presents in his book, Obstruction of Justice, How the Deep State Risks National Security to Protect the Democrats. He is an investigative reporter for the Daily Caller News Foundation, Luke Rosiak. Thanks for being here today, Luke.
Thanks for having me.
On Twitter, you can follow Luke at Luke Rosiak, R-O-S-I-A-K, and also read his work at the Daily Caller. Now, the story you reveal in Obstruction of Justice basically revolves around one individual, Imran Awan, I believe I got that right. Who was he, and what's this whole situation about?
So this is a Pakistani IT guy who was hired by Debbie Wasserman Schultz and other Democrats to run their servers, their computer servers in Congress. And it turns out that the same week that the DNC was hacked, Congress was also hacked. And on the Congress side, it wasn't Russians, it was this unvetted Pakistani guy with all these kind of connections to foreign governments, criminal record, and a track record of extortion, who the Democrats had put on their payroll and given access to all of their data. And so when this happened, they didn't have the same reaction they did with Russia, which is to say this is an assault on our democracy, this is the worst thing that's ever happened, this has changed the presidency. They decided to cover it up, and they retaliated against investigators, evidence disappeared, people were threatened, and they straight up rigged the election. So this week, Andrew McCabe from the FBI basically admitted to doing a coup against the president, right? I mean, the FBI decided they didn't want Trump to win, and they were going to do whatever it took to stop him. We've all heard about Peter Strzok and the investigation into Hillary's email server and, of course, the Fusion GPS that led to the Mueller probe. All of those things we've learned over the last 2 years were deliberate maneuvering by Democrats to control what the DOJ does and, in turn, what the media does and what we all perceive as reality. And so this is kind of the last piece in that, that there was the whole time, there was an actual incident of foreign meddling, of hacking, of collusion, and it wasn't Russians and Republicans, it was Pakistanis and Democrats, and the lengths they went to make this astonishing case disappear really are shocking about sort of the level of corruptions that we're seeing in the FBI.
Now, normally when a system or even a personal server, if you have, you know, half the intelligence needed to operate a computer and a server, email, et cetera, when there is a hack attack, you kind of know pretty fast. How long was this all going on?
Well, they found out about it in June of 2016, same week as the DNC was hacked, and they decided to kick the can down the road until after the election. And so, as you said, that's unheard of. I mean, when you detect a hack, you don't just sit back and say, oh, let's just wait and see what happens. There's literally no justification for that other than we want to get through the election without this this hack that's not from Russia, this hack that's unfavorable to our Russian narrative coming to light. And so they really risk national security by knowingly allowing this hack to continue. And in the meantime, the suspect knew that he was caught and the evidence started disappearing. And so they found, actually, that the House Democratic Caucus server had disappeared. And that's kind of the sister group of the DNC, the House Democratic Caucus. They have their own server. It was identified as evidence in a hacking probe in the summer of during the election. And so they wait a couple months, and they finally the cops go in and they seize it as evidence, and they say, holy crap, the server's gone. It's gone missing. You know, the guy knew that it was evidence, and it disappeared. And so this kind of thing is like pretty much out of a movie. I mean, the idea that this hacking evidence would disappear and no one would tell us, they weren't going to tell us about any of this. And so eventually he's banned from the House network after the election. Well, after that, he sneaks into the House office building anyway at midnight, takes Debbie Wasserman Schultz's laptop, and leaves it in a phone booth for police to find. So again, this is stuff that's like out of a movie. It's completely insane. It's kind of the real... It's all that cloak and dagger stuff that the Mueller probe was supposed to be, but It's been 2 years and we have no evidence on that. The whole time, these extraordinary things were happening and they were concealed from us.
All right, Luke Groziak, who has his book, Obstruction of Justice, How the Deep State Risks National Security to Protect the Democrats, on Twitter at Luke Groziak. And you can also read his work at dailycaller.com. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. Just to get to the layperson thing, too, what Imran did, no, it was a series of illegal acts. There's no way around that, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about computers. They have logs on everything, and the logs show them making unauthorized access. And if you look at the law, I mean, that's a crime. There was computers that were disappearing. All this stuff is documented. There was unambiguous fraud in the House of Representatives that allowed the computers to disappear. And so, actually, after he was banned, it turned out that he still had a backdoor into the computer system because he had stolen the identity of an intelligence staffer, and that he was using his email address. And at the same time, he also took $100,000 from an Iranian government minister tied to Hezbollah. And so here I am as an investigative reporter, and I'm going through the different records, public records, civil lawsuits from their lawsuits they'd been in over the years, things that anyone else could do. The FBI could certainly do it if I could do it. And, you know, I'm just wondering, why is this guy not in jail? Does the FBI not know about it? And as 2 years go on and they just kind of string this thing out and delay it, I realize and I learn and I document in the book, my God, they've known about this from the beginning and they're actually in on the evidence, you know, they're in on rigging this case.
As far as the level of those in on it, as the phrase goes, again, you would think this is something that would certainly alert people at all levels at the DOJ, for example, not just the FBI. What were some of their actions that you would be surprised by versus what you would expect of them?
Well, so this guy's own wife, for example, comes forward and says it's just what you expected. He's a mole in Congress. He told me he's a mole in Congress from Pakistan, but that he knows so much about these congressmen because he's got access to all their data that he can never be prosecuted. You know, they're afraid that he would release whatever he knows. And so he says he's invincible. And so she goes to the police and she says that. And the next day she's shot at. And she says, you know, at that point he begins blackmailing her. And he says, look, I've used my IT skills to rig our apartment with hidden cameras. I've got a sex tape of you and I'm going to release it in Pakistan if you ever talk to the police again. So here we have a guy who had access to all the data of all these members, and he's taken it off Capitol Hill. Obviously, the potential is for blackmail there. He's blackmailing his own wife for saying that he is a mole in Congress. And so eventually she summons the courage to go to the FBI and tell them all that he tried to have her killed, that he's blackmailing her, that he's an admitted mole in Congress. And so the FBI agent, who's named in the book, actually stands in front of her door to prevent her from going to court so she can tell the judge this. And they get in there with the courtroom, and he's got this Clinton lawyer, and they all start making fun of Republicans together. And, you know, it's really an extraordinary scene. And so the DOJ puts out this statement saying Imran Awan has never done anything wrong in his life. He actually just likes to give to charity. And so it's just truly the two tiers of justice. I've never seen anything like it in my life. There's documented, unambiguous evidence. And to watch them control the media, so the Democrats working with the DOJ, and then the media goes along with it gladly. And so this is a story that most people have never heard about, this Pakistani guy who hacked Capitol Hill. But kind of the takeaway is, this is how we're being manipulated all the time, and this is how they do it. This is how the DOJ and the Democrats have been conspiring for the last 2 years to shape everything we know and we think we know.
Well, thankfully, your book, Obstruction of Justice, has had resounding results with the sales and the people's interest. The discovery, after all these years, of the true story about all this going on. What's been the reaction by those who were the players in all this? Are they still in the deep state of denial on all this?
Well, you know, I think that they have to ignore it because there's really nothing that they can do to dispute it. It's written in a way that reads like a novel, but it's also really detailed. It would be hard to object to anything in the book and say that's not true because it's so detailed. So a lot of people just don't read it and say, that can't be true. It must be made up. They call it a conspiracy theory. But if you read the book, it's 100% documented. And I would say that, you know, with the Democrats talking about Russia for 2 years based on nothing, that's a conspiracy theory, you know?
This is a fantastic book, a true story, although you're going to go through it at certain points and think, really? Come on. But no, it's what Luke writes about in Obstruction of Justice, how the deep state risks national security to protect the Democrats. It gives you a deep inside view of just what CYA at its most extreme point could ever possibly explode into, and other things that maybe we still have to find out as far as the ripple effects and the results of what had been taking place with the hacking, the ignorance of it, the denial of it, the enabling of it, and by certain Republicans, not just the Democrats as well, because you know, the one thing we've learned about people in Washington, D.C., they don't want to be proven to be part of a conspiracy, part of a crime, or even be wrong, because we all know how ego-driven they are. But with Luke's book, that ego does get some chunks knocked out of it. It's Obstruction of Justice, How the Deep State Risks National Security to Protect the Democrats. Get it through your favorite means of getting a book. This is one of those we add to the must-read list. You can follow Luke on Twitter at Luke Rosiak, R-O-S-I-A-K, and read his work over at Daily Caller. Luke Rosiak, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.